When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you."
Thank you, Linda. Well, who can tell me the answer to the Easter egg hunt you've just done? Put your hands up. Is there anybody younger than Dan? Tizza. Jesus is not here. Is that the answer that everybody got? Jesus is not here. Right. In a moment, I'm going to explain a little bit about where Jesus wasn't, but more of that later on. Okay, but first, who can tell me who this is? Who's that? Who? Wally. Wally. Okay, and what does Wally do? Hide. Okay. So where's Wally now? Can anybody see? Now, Wally is always getting lost, isn't he? Or hiding. Now, imagine if he was your older brother. It would be a nightmare, wouldn't it? You wouldn't be able to take Wally anywhere, would you? Because as soon as you got out somewhere, you'd turn your back and it'd be gone. And then you'll spend your next 30 minutes trying to look for Wally. So if Wally was my son, I think I'd just leave him at home safely where he couldn't get lost, wouldn't you? I think that's what I'd do. Have any of you got lost? Has anybody here got lost? Yeah, I'm sure a few of you got lost. I got lost once. Got lost. And people generally get lost when they wander off, don't they? Did you wander off at all? Did you get lost? Where did you wander off?
Home.
At home? And you got lost at home? No? Yeah. It's tricky, isn't it? Now, if you're wearing your bunny ears on that day, you might not have got lost. So there's... But people get lost when they wander off, don't they? But actually, we're going to hear a story about the disciples losing a dead person. And it's very difficult to lose a dead person because dead people don't normally get up and wander around, do they? They don't normally, you turn your back and they sort of get up and wander off somewhere. They normally stay very, very still, don't they? But that's what happened to the people we're going to be talking about, the friends of Jesus in the story we've just told. They lost a dead person. So let's just remember the story so far, okay? So about 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born in a stable, and his mother Mary laid him in a manger. And the angels said that this little baby is going to be called the Son of God, and he's going to be the Savior of the world. And the adults are thinking, this is going to be a very, very long story. So let's fast forward 30 years. And Jesus, now a man, begins to preach. And he heals many sick people. He calms a storm. He feeds 5,000 people with a roll and a couple of fish. He did some amazing things. And people came from miles around to come and listen to his stories. Then, after about 3 years of this, he went into the capital city of the city where of the country where he lived. It was called Jerusalem. And the people of Jerusalem welcomed him as a king, the best king ever. It was such an exciting moment. People were waving palm branches, as you see there. They were putting things down in the road for him to walk on. And they were shouting things like, "Hosanna to the Son of David," which means praise the Son of David, who is one of the most famous kings Israel had had. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." It's such an exciting moment. That was a Sunday. A few days later, the crowd had changed its mind, and now they had turned against Jesus and they wanted him killed. And the Romans, who were in charge at that time, they took hold of Jesus, they beat him up, they tied him to a Roman cross, a wooden cross, and they left him to die. And a few hours later, he was dead. And just to make sure, the soldiers put a spear into his side. Jesus was very dead. It was late on a Friday. So his friends took him down from that cross, and they took him to a stone tomb, and they wrapped him up in a very long strip of cloth, and they laid him out in the tomb, and the entrance was closed with a big rolling stone, and a Roman guard came and sealed that tomb. The next day was Saturday. And at that time and place, you weren't allowed to do anything on Saturday. No work, no play. So they stayed at home. But early on Sunday morning, Jesus' friends, Mary, who we're going to be hearing a little bit more about later, another Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, waited until early on Sunday morning, and then they went to the tomb where they had put Jesus' body. Now, this tomb was very big. It had enough space inside to get several bodies in it. And it had this big rolling stone, about this size probably, in front of the entrance. So Mary and Salome would have found it very difficult to lose that tomb. They knew which tomb to go to. But when they got there and they looked inside, there was no body. And there was an angel there standing in bright, shiny clothes. And he was saying, "Don't be afraid." But they couldn't help themselves, and they screamed anyway. "Ah!" And I think if it was you, I would have screamed as well, wouldn't you? But this angel said, "Look, don't be afraid. I know who you're looking for." And it wasn't Wally, was it? No, they were looking for Jesus. And that should have been easy, because Jesus was a dead man, wasn't he? And dead men don't get lost. But the angel said, "Jesus is not here." The disciples had lost him. They'd lost a dead man, which is so difficult to do. So here's a question: how do you lose a dead man? Answer: when he comes alive and starts wandering around again. Sounds like a joke, doesn't it? But it's not. When the angel said Jesus is not here, that's what he meant. He's not in this tomb. Because although he's dead, he's not dead. He was dead. He's not dead any longer. He is alive. He is risen. And ever since then, Christians have been saying that this Jesus is not in that tomb, but he's alive. And that means he can be here with us today. And that's why we can say he is here with confidence. He is here, even in Wokingham, with us. So on that first Easter morning, the cry was, "Jesus is not here." But because that happens, we can say this Easter morning, Jesus is here. He's here with us. We're going to sing one more song now before the children can go out again and enjoy some more activities. And that song is called Super Saviour, because Jesus was born and the angels are saying he's going to be known as Saviour. In fact, that's what his name means, Jesus. So we're going to sing about him now in this song called Super Saviour. We're going to wind back a little bit in the story of Jesus now, and I'm going to tell you another story about Jesus and four friends of him. It's a story of four friends, which makes it sound a little bit like the Big Bang Theory, if you know that program. But this is a story of Mary Magdalene and her sister and their brother Lazarus, and all of them lived in a small village called Bethany, about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And it's a story about them and Jesus. And all four of these people were good friends. Now, Jesus, though, at this point in his ministry, as it were, was already in trouble with the authorities back in Jerusalem. So for the time being, he's away in the country somewhere, keeping out of their way. But whilst he was away, Lazarus became seriously ill. So the two sisters sent Jesus this coded letter saying to him, "Look, Lazarus is ill. Can you come back and see him?" Well, Jesus got the letter, but initially he didn't do anything with it. He waited there for another 2 days. It's almost as though he was expecting and waiting for Lazarus to die. Eventually, after 2 days, he said, "Okay, disciples, we can go back now to Bethany. Come on, let's go." The disciples looked at him and said, "You're crazy. If you go back there, you're likely to get killed or arrested or something like that." But in the end, they said, well, even Thomas, who you might know as Doubting Thomas, he turned to Jesus and said, "Okay." He was a real bundle of fun, was Thomas. He said, "Okay, if you're going to go back, we might as well go back with you and get killed with you as well." So they set out on their journey back to Bethany, and this is what happened. Brian's going to come to read to us from John chapter 11. It's on page 1078 of the Bibles. The key verse is written on the white sheets, but I couldn't fit it all on. Brian.
It's John 11, starting at verse 17. So John 11, 17. It's entitled, Jesus Comforts the Sisters of Lazarus. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying?
Thank you, Brian. So there was Lazarus, poor Lazarus, he was dead. And Martha and Mary, of course, were going experiencing one of the most miserable things that we can experience as human beings, the death of somebody they loved. There's nothing good about that separation that we are faced with, that death causes, is it? The Bible calls death the final enemy. It was Benjamin Franklin, wasn't it, who famously said, nothing is certain in life except death and taxes. And neither of those are particularly popular, of course. But in many ways, it was worse for Mary and Martha because they thought that Jesus would be able to do something. They put their trust in Jesus, and yet Jesus wasn't there. He kept them waiting for several days. Why wouldn't he come? Why did he keep them waiting? Why hadn't he come back to Bethany? Didn't Jesus care after all? Mary was filled with so much uncertainty that she wouldn't even come out of the house when Jesus arrived. She was inside, perhaps in a little bit of grump, in a bit of a mood with Jesus. But Martha, practical Martha, you wouldn't mess with Martha, goes outside, she meets Jesus, and she puts it to him straight. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. And you know, sometimes we ask that, don't we? We ask, well, if there's somebody out there who cares for us and can do something for us, then why do we have to suffer like sometimes we do? And perhaps if there is somebody out there, perhaps you're thinking yourself, well, actually, I'd quite like to meet that somebody face to face and give them a piece of my mind, really. I'd like to be Mary, like Martha, and say, if you had been here, you could have done something. You could have helped. Surveys say about 70% of people in this country believe there is something out there But most people, I think, don't really have much of a clue in terms of what that something is or what he's like or what he expects. A comedian was once asked what they thought of God, and they replied, "I don't know. We've never properly been introduced." But what if you could actually meet God face to face? Well, one of the biggest claims of Christianity is that if you had lived in Israel about 2,000 years ago, then you could have met God face to face. You could have walked up to him and said, "Hello," give him a kiss on the cheek, because that's what you did in those days. And his name was Jesus. Well, Martha kind of understands this, because she says to Jesus, she says, "But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask," verse 22 there. You see, she knew the difference that Jesus had made to people's lives, the people that he had met. His teaching, as I said before, had left crowds feeling absolutely amazed, and even today his ideas are still taught around the world. His power to heal people left people saying, "We've never seen anything like this before," because they hadn't. And we haven't either, even in today's marvelous world of the NHS. And his power over nature kind of marked him out as something special as well. I mean, we're pretty good these days at building concrete sea defenses and flexible buildings that don't fall over in earthquakes. But Jesus was doing that 2,000 years ago just by saying to a storm, "Be quiet." Martha can't quite believe such good things are going to happen to her after the trauma of the last few days, though, can she? Because she says to Jesus, when Jesus says to her, rather, "Your brother will rise again," she answers, "Yes, I know. I know he will rise again at the last day." You see, she'd still not quite grasp the magnitude of what Jesus was saying to her. So he replies with these words. He says, "I'm the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" You see, throughout John's gospel about Jesus, Jesus has been portrayed as the source of life. So John 1 claims that Jesus was with God at the beginning when everything was made. In fact, it says that everything was made through Jesus. So this world and us and animals and flowers and plants and everything else. And Jesus offered the people new life in his kingdom. And he said in chapter 10, he said, "I've come to give you life to the full." And here in John chapter 11, it makes it clear that life that Jesus gives is not just, well, life whilst it lasts. This is eternal life, indestructible life. This is resurrection life. Moreover, it is God's gift to us here and now. So Martha believes in this better life in the far distant horizon. Jesus invites her to believe that his resurrection life is for here and now as well. So to believe in Jesus means that we can know God. Not quite face to face, like they did 2,000 years ago, but the next best thing, which is by his Holy Spirit. And one day, the Bible promises that if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, then we will meet him face to face. Because death lies defeated. Yes, there will be that horrible moment when we are physically separated from our loved ones. We're separated from this world. But for the Christian, that will not be death. It's simply the beginning of a better story, whose opening chapters begin here and now, but the book just goes on getting better and better. Can Martha really believe that this is true? Well, not quite. She believed, she says, that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world, but she still doesn't quite believe that he is the resurrection and the life. Because instead, she goes back inside and she gets Mary. And Mary finally comes out and she faces Jesus and she puts to him the same accusation almost that Martha said to him. She says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have lived." Verse 32. And Jesus was deeply moved by Mary's grief. As she took him to the tomb where they had laid the body of Lazarus, Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus wept. Some of the Jews said, see how he loved him. Others, less kind, said, well, could he, who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying? Well, when Jesus came to the tomb, once more he was deeply moved. And those English words don't quite capture the emotion behind the original words and those in verse 33 as well. Because what they really mean was Jesus was angry. Jesus was beside himself with rage. Why? Because of death. You see, in Mary's grief, he sees and feels the misery of the whole human race. And he burns with rage against death, the final enemy and oppressor of all men. The one thing we cannot avoid. It is death that is the object of his wrath on that day. And behind death, him who has the power of death and whom Jesus came into this world to completely destroy. You see, tears of sympathy filled the eyes of Jesus. But his soul was filled with rage at that moment. And he advances towards that tomb like a man on a mission, which he was. And here's what's happened. Ron's going to come to read to us the final part of this passage. Begin to read at verse 38.
So continuing at John 11:38, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," Martha, the sister of the dead man, said Martha, the sister of a dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
Thank you, Brian. So Jesus says, "Take away the stone, take away the stone." And Martha, being the practical woman that she is, she says, "Well, don't do that. Think of the smell after 4 days." Jesus just gives thanks to his Father in heaven. He says in a loud voice, he says, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet still wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. You see, that is telling Mary and Martha that he does care. And he can make a difference to the situation. And that he is prepared to do something about it, even about the worst enemy that we can face, which is death. And you may think, well, this is a fairly incredible story, isn't it? Men coming alive again and all that sort of stuff. And John's Gospel is the last to be written, perhaps about 40 years after the death of Jesus. But the other Gospels also are written probably only 30 years after the death of Jesus. They also record instances where Jesus brought people back to life again. So all these stories were fairly easily verifiable. They were all written within the lifetime of people who actually saw what happened, the eyewitnesses. They could have denied it if this hadn't been the case. But in fact, nobody in Jesus' day really doubted that these miracles happened. All the talk back then was more about, well, in whose power did he do those? But Jesus didn't see himself in that way. He didn't see himself as a man who just channeled some divine power in some way. No, he saw himself as God himself. That's how he explained his miracles. That's also how his enemies understood these miracles, because in fact it was this miracle, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, which led directly to charges of blasphemy being put against him, to his arrest and trial in Jerusalem and his eventual death on the cross just a few weeks later. But as we saw earlier with the children, the tomb of Jesus could no longer could no more hold him than the tomb of Lazarus could hold Lazarus once Jesus had told him to come out. So if Jesus' life, the way he lived, the things that he did, gave this very strong indication that there is someone out there and that he does care, and that in Jesus we can see what he is like, then it is the resurrection that actually proves this claim. After his resurrection, he appeared another 12 times, the Bible tells us, to different groups of people, once to only one person, that very same Thomas, but other times to small groups, other times to 500 people all at once, until he was taken back up to heaven, but still alive. And after those appearances, even Jews like Mary, Martha, and good old doubting, cynical Thomas, who firmly believe in God, but never expected him to turn up on earth, they never expected him and would have been completely horrified at the thought of worshipping another human being. But after seeing him risen from the dead, they believed that Jesus was alive, and they fell on their faces, and they worshipped him. So Jesus says to us, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And it's as though those questions we asked earlier on, who is God, what is God like, does he really care about me? It's as if actually they're all cleared up. We can stop the guessing game now, because although we can't meet God face to face right now, we can see him in Jesus. And Jesus is the one who offers us his life, eternal life. So when Jesus asks, do you believe this? Well, many of us here do believe this. Many of us do believe the answer is yes. We believe that Jesus died and he rose again and he is still alive today and he is our Lord and our Saviour, and we rejoice and thank him for it. But some of you may be slightly unsure about that, and we'd just like to invite you and we thank you for coming. It's great to see you. And we'd just like to invite you to a short course, a 7-week course called Christianity Explored, which we're putting on after Easter. And I have an invitation card, but I haven't brought it up here. But there's some in the hall out the back, so ask me for one afterwards. It's an evening course, and it's a really friendly, open environment where you can just come along, enjoy a pudding or something together, and ask the questions you want to ask, and in the company of other people who are asking similar questions, and some people who might be able to point you in the right direction at least, and explore what the Bible has to say about Jesus together. So please think about coming to join that. But now we're going to sing another song, and then we're going to have some prayers, and then we'll sing our final song, and we'll bring the children back in. So we're going to stand to sing now. Man of Sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus' land. Please stand if you're able to sing.